Good to be here, amen, and appreciate all that you've done. Appreciate Brother Barlow and Miss Crystal. They're some of my favorite people, not just because they're family, but for a lot of years they were our church family and served, worked, ministered, and I'm very thankful. They were a big loss when we lost them, but I'm so thrilled where they are, and I'm excited to watch each and every week, see what God's doing here. Then my son Jake over in now in Maine, and it's excited to see what God's doing there and what God's going to work through his family. And it's good to see each and every one of you. Boy, it's just good to watch the crowd grow, and I'm so thankful that God is good. No matter where we are, God is good. And, you know, I sometimes when I preach what I'm preaching today, a lot of people, They get to the point where they say, well, Brother Kelly, do you think anything bad happens in the Christian life? And I know this, God works all things together. Amen. And what we think is bad, see, when we're thinking from the outside in, those senses that we talked about during the Sunday school hour, and if you didn't grab one of those papers, maybe these boys could get you one, the threefold nature of man. I'll not have nearly the time this morning to go back over a lot of that, but if you didn't get one, please raise your hand. They'll give you one. But I want you to realize that when you're continually taking information in, well, that's bad, and that was good. How many have ever read the book of Genesis? I heard that little boy, his favorite book or verse in the Bible was the book of Genesis. He's my kind of guy. I like that. I think entire books are important. That's, you know, if you only read one verse out of a book or, you know, one paragraph out of a book, you're not going to get much out of it. You need the entire book. God wrote a book, a rule book, for us. And I want you to realize it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But as that young man was, as they were saying that about him, I thought, boy, isn't that good that we can take the Word of God this morning, apply it to our heart, begin to learn, and begin to see the truth that'll set us free. So the threefold nature of man, we have the body, the soul, and the spirit. We have the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. And I want you to know, as we think about this, we want to take information in that is right and true. But I want you to realize the day you got saved, you became a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things become new. John 10 teaches us this. Jesus said, a thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And people say, well, preacher, you just want people to have an abundant life. You just want to have a joyful life. You want them to think that there's nothing good or evil that happens in this world. I want you to, don't misunderstand me. The Apostle Paul was in prison, but yet still he had a joyful heart. You can go through storms and trials, but you don't have to go through them alone. I want you to know that one of my favorite passages of Scripture to preach on, I'll not preach on it today, but we find Jesus walking on the water. The disciples had just seen 5,000 fed with five loaves and two small fishes. It's an amazing scene. The multitude sent away. Jesus goes up into a mountain apart to pray, and the disciples are sent out on the sea. The sea become tempestuous. And the Bible says they rolled all night. These were not inexperienced fishermen. These would have been folks like you who've been in church for a lot of years, and you know the Lord, and you've seen the hurt, and you've seen the heartache, and you've seen the good and the bad, and you're rowing, and they just can't get to shore, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And Peter said, hey, Lord, if it be thou thee, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come, just the same as he's saying to you today, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible teaches us that Peter steps out of the boat, and all God's people said, the rest of them sat in the boat. Wouldn't you think when they started seeing him walk on the water, I would want to jump out of that boat with him? But they didn't, not one of them. They all just saw him and they were watching him. And he begins to walk on the water going to Jesus. You are here this morning. You are on your way to him. You're trying to get to him. And the Bible says as they began to walk to him, Peter began to see the storm and he began to look around and he began to sink. This man, who we find later in Scripture, swimming, pulling the fish to the shore, remember? It wasn't that Peter couldn't swim. It wasn't that the boat wasn't right back there that he couldn't. No, he had a desire to get to Jesus. And he reaches out and he cries out to Jesus, Lord Jesus, what? Save me. And Jesus reaches down his hand and he pulls him out. You're either in the place of getting to Jesus. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know the same Jesus that'll help walk you through the storms of this life, I want you to know is the same Jesus that wants to save you. He wants to reach out His hand and save your soul this morning. But if you're here this morning and you're saved, that same Jesus will help you through the storms and the cares of this life. He wants you to have an abundant life and a life more abundant. More abundant. And so the Bible teaches us that He reaches out His hand and Peter then steps up on the water. The storm is still happening. The tempestuous seas are still turmoil all around. And the Bible says that Peter and Jesus, they began to walk on top of the storm. And they began. He doesn't sink, by the way. He's walking with Him. I'm of the mind, as a child of God, we have spent so much of our Christian life trying to get to Him. Oh, Lord, I need You. You listen to the songs. I need Thee every hour. Jesus says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to go with you in every battle, in every storm, in every trial, in every situation. But here we sit this morning, and so many people are just swallowed up in the cares of this life. And God says this morning, hey, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon Me. Learn of Me. And listen, He doesn't say that we will not have to pull the plow. He doesn't say that it won't be good times and bad times. He's saying it'll be God times. Amen. It was just as evil for Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good as it was the knowledge of evil. She didn't know the difference at that time, by the way. Jesus just said, hey, the day that they were created, He said, understand, He planted a tree in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of the life, by the way, but Eve said it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she said, we can't eat it, neither can we touch it. Changed the Bible right off the bat. And she reaches out and she takes of that fruit. And now she has the mind of what is good and the mind of what is evil. She is perceiving from the outside in instead of the inside out. What I'm saying here is you're sitting here and you say, no, that cancer that the doctor just gave me, that's evil. But God says, I'm going to work it together for the good in your life. I've got big plans for your life. I'm going to allow you to reach people through that. That I, listen, would you suffer with Me for a few minutes this morning? Preacher, but I see it as it was a horrible, horrible experience in my life. But God says, I'll take that horrible experience. And I'll walk on the storm with you. And I'll walk through that trial with you. And I'll lead you. And God, would you let Me give you the abundant life this morning, He's saying. But because we think from the outside in, oh, it was a horrible day. No, it was a God day. David would bring to his mind to the thought. He would say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And if I think it's a good day, I'll rejoice in it. No. If I think it's a bad day, No. He said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it. Let come what may. Let the giants come. Let the victories come. Let the hurts. Listen, it doesn't change. I'm walking with the Lord in the cares and the trials and the blessings of this life. And so as a child of God this morning, my heart and desire for the church of Jesus Christ is for them to wrap their mind around who they are in Christ. And start thinking right. I want my eyes to be the eyes of the Spirit of God. When I'm sitting in my office and someone's sitting across from me and they're counseling, I can't run that through my filter of my experience and what I feel and what I think. Oh, as I listen to some of the stories, I get so, my flesh, I could just take a 2x4 and hit some daddies over the head or some mamas or go find an uncle and hang him up by the neck around it. You know what I'm talking about this morning. And I get so, if I let it go through my flesh, but when I realize that, wait a minute, there's a Spirit of God that lives inside of me. Lord, give me truth. Help me to give them the help that they need. They need the balm of Gilead. They need You this morning. They need to walk on this storm. And I'm saying, as we said here this morning, so many children of God, they spend their life living from the outside in instead of from the inside out. I want my eyes to be His eyes. I want my ears to be His ears. When she's complaining and murmuring and griping, or he's complaining and murmuring and griping, I don't want to hear the complaining, murmuring, and griping. I want to hear what God hears.
I want to hear what the Spirit of God, because he says, I want to give you an abundant life. You're alienated, preacher, from the life of God because of the blindness of your heart. If you go to Matthew chapter 22 this morning, Matthew chapter 22, and I want you to know in Corinthians we can find the carnal man, the natural man, and the spiritual man. Those are written down there. Please look at those. And I want you to begin to live from the inside. Well, how do I do that? Well, I believe it starts with what I call the battle of the mind. In Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Let's say it again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy and with all thy and with all thy. You know what he said? I want all of your heart. All of it. I want all of your soul, which is made up of the mind, emotion, and will. And I want all that you're thinking about. I want all of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. We need to have the mind of Christ, of who we are in Christ. We've already established this morning, we are more than conquerors. How do I know that? Because we're seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. It's not my might or my power, but it's His might and His power. And when I began to look from the inside out and see that in Christ Jesus, I'm seated far above all principalities and powers in Jesus Christ. I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear the things that the world says is not good. I just have to walk with God. Peter said, Lord, I want to come to you. And he said, come. This morning you got to make the decision. God, I want to get close to you. I want to know your word. I want to walk with you, fellowship with you, talk with you. I want to sing about you. God, I want to work with you day in and day out. This is your day, God. My life is yours to control. And God, I choose to walk with you this morning. And he says, is that what you want? Come. He'll pour water upon him who's thirsty. I'll give unto them life and life more abundantly. But you've got to want it. You've got to desire it. You've got to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I want you to come. Hey, you that are lost, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If your name's not written in the book of life, he says, come. He is offered this morning. It's to him that cometh unto him. Cometh unto him. He will no wise cast out. It's a for whosoever gospel. God wants you to come this morning. You got to want it. How many say, boy, I'd love to live a life that's pleasing to God. I'd love to live a preacher, but all those rules aren't rules to keep you from something. They're rules to keep you for something. God has plans for your life, and Satan wants to alienate and rob you. Amen. So this morning, God wants you to see some things. Notice he says, I want you to love me with all your heart. Isaiah 26, 3, write him down for time's sake. It says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He said, I want to keep you in perfect peace. Well, how do I do that? Well, I can't do it looking from the outside in. How many has looked and watched the news lately? Don't do that. That news is wicked. I mean, it's vile. There's nothing on it. I mean, is it good report? So why am I going to sit and think about what Russia's doing? He said, preacher, if you don't know the current events. Listen, I don't need the current events to know that this world is coming to an end. Jesus is coming soon. We have a job to do. And so I don't need to know what Dan Rather, he ain't on there anymore. That's how long ago I watched it. But I don't need to know what he thinks on current events. I don't need somebody to put thoughts from the outside in. I need to see what God sees. Lord, how should I see this world? They came to our town, and people were up in arms. We're talking people who don't go to church. They were hot. They were going to use our library, and they were going to call it the Drag Queen Reading Hour. And I thought to myself, Drag Queen Reading Hour. My first thought was, oh, not in my town. No, that ain't going to happen. Not at our library. That's a public facility. You're not going to do that. But then I started thinking, Lord, what do you want me to think about this? How would you want us to handle this? And I'm telling you, the world did what the world did. I'm going to tell you, the churches around our town did what they were going to do. But here's what our church did. Our church decided that, hey, here's what we know. We know that these people that are coming, they're people. And what are they involved in? They're involved in sin. And how much of their sin was nailed to the cross? Well, preacher, all of it. Okay, so if all their sin's been nailed to the cross, why is their sin? Am I going to continue in their sin? Am I going to get wrapped up in their sin? Or am I going to get wrapped up in the hope of who Christ is? And so what I said is, my men said, preacher, we need to go down there. We need to have something. And we did. We put a bouncy house, offered free food. We did. Our church is just right down the road. I mean, come on, go listen to a guy, girl, whatever it was, read to you, and or come to a bouncy house, get free food. Well, the kids came to the bouncy house, you know, and so we put the bouncy house up, and they came for food. Well, then I had men out there. And my men were, I said, guys, I don't want you to be ugly. I don't want you to be mean. I want you to know that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. He loves sinners. And I want you to, but Brother Kelly, what they're doing is just so awful. Hey, let me tell you something. They're doing some things that the world does. But you were looking from the outside in. Let's look at how Christ looks at them. For God so loved that world too. He died for them. And I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's it. But here's what I did. I said, I'm going to go in and I'm going to listen to these guys. And I sat down in their chair. Now, here we are, Baptist preacher, sitting in this chair with all these people, and all these people who know me in the town know what I believe, know what I stand for. The people who were there to let their kids read, listen to the reading. You have this man dressed in a beautiful blue dress. My wife would look really nice. It was nice. I mean, it was. It was like one of those. It was a high dollar, high. It was no expensive spare. And he got up there and he told the story about a blue crayon that wrote red, or a red crayon that wrote blue, and how it couldn't fit in the crown box because none of the other crowns would accept it because it was a red crayon that wrote blue. And I listened to that story and I thought, a red crayon that wrote blue. You're wearing a blue dress, you're a boy, and you're trying to tell, and he's telling me the story. And I'm listening to that story. And all to make a long story short, the story at the end is, well, that crayon made the clouds, and everybody accepted it, it was wonderful. Ah, and it's like, but still a red crayon, it's right blue. And I really wanted, there was a lady that was dressed in man's attire, had on beard, and she was said, and she was the king, and this guy was the queen, and they could say it's okay. Red crayon, blue crayon. Blue crayon, red crayon. You can't change it. Sorry. God made you a red crayon. God made you a blue crayon. Everything inside me wanted to get up and preach at these people, and that ain't going to work. So I held my peace. After it was all done, the guy dressed like a girl, He said, so you guys have a bouncy house? And one of my men, brother Troy, he says, yeah, we have a bouncy house. He says, can I jump in it? Why, sure. Come on down to the bouncy house. Well, they walk down the street and they go down to the bouncy house. Brother Troy, the whole way down there, is telling him about the love of God. Told him how God loves him, how we're a church. Listen, while we don't like and agree with your lifestyle, we don't hate you. Began to tell about the love of God and the love of Christ. Got down in a house, the bouncy house was blown down, praise God, but it was taken down and I wasn't there. I'm just saying the reality of it is, you can precede this world. This world is going to get wickeder. There are things right now before our Supreme Court. I want you to know that if you knew the depravity in it, I mean, it is vile. How many knows? If you've read the Bible, it's going to get bad. So quit focusing from the outside in and start focusing from the inside out. What this world needs is God's people to be full of the Holy Ghost of God, to have the power of God and the words of God to change people's lives. They need truth. They don't need religion. They need truth. They need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. It's not what you think or what you believe or what you feel. It's what He says that matters this morning. And so when we get our minds wrapped around thinking from the inside out instead of the outside in, it'll transform your world. Because I promise you, if you let that old Gentile flesh get in the way. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm from Ohio. And from Ohio, I was raised, you know, on the country, in the farm. Things just make sense. We had steers, and we had bulls, and we had, I saw from a child that there's a difference. It's not hard to figure, but I'm not going to preach hate. I want to preach the grace of God. I want to preach what God could do. I'm not condoning sin. The reality of it is when they come in my church and they look like they fell in the tackle box, I want them to know the love of God. I want them to know that there is a church that's not going to judge them. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you start looking right. Lord, let my eyes see them as you see them. How do you see that little girl? How do you see that little boy? Hey, if that was my grandson, if that was my daughter, would I want somebody to be ugly and mean and shout things? The world is doing that. I want to be a church that has the love of Christ, that shows them the truth that can set them free. Paraguay. I got to preach, and they had a guy that called himself a transvestite. He'd come into the services, and he was dressed like a female that day, and they began to hug him. The men did, not the women. That man got saved and his life changed. I saw that in my life. I thought, how would you see that, preacher? How would you respond to that? What would you do? And I know we're living in a day and age. I'm telling you, we fought everything from bathrooms that are going to be good to painting our sidewalks they're wanting to take a rainbow and paint it down the sidewalks of Seward so everybody can feel comfortable when they come to their town. So they're walking all over your flag. Doesn't make any sense. But they're just trying to get somebody. There's a problem there. We as God's people need to get in the battle. God's looking for some people who will say, hey, I'm going to get out of my whited sepulcher and step out by faith and get out of the boat and let God do what God can only do in my life. I'm tired of not living the abundant life. So look quickly if you would. Well, how do I do that? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You've got to fix your focus. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:14, enter not the path of the wicked and go not the way of the evil man. And all God's people said. Well, how do you enter not the path of the wicked? Well, you've got to know which path is right. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need to sift my decisions through the word of God. I need to let my mind, his mind, become my mind so that my mind becomes his and I do his will, not my way. He wants me to follow him. Preacher, it's liberty and freedom and grace. And boy, we've messed everything up. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:15, to avoid it, what? The way of the evil man, to pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. In Philippians 4:8, I quoted earlier, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So preacher, you're talking about this inside out, outside in. How do I do that? Well, you need to first make the commitment. God, I want to think right. I want to be right. I want my mind to be stayed on the... Do you know anybody that's living in perfect peace? Perfect peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. We're not talking about world peace. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The reason why we're so wrapped up, tied up around the axle of life is because we're thinking from the outside in. We're letting our eyes be the eyes of the world. We're letting our ears. Well, that don't sound right. I don't like the way that sounds. Well, I don't like it when the preacher tells me what to do. I don't like it when mom and dad tells me what to do. And then you go to the school, and the school tells them, well, your mom and dad have no right. They're just robbing. They're legalists. I'm just saying today, listen, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Where's your mind this morning? Is your mind in the center of his will? Is your mind chasing after him? Is your mind, or is your mind wrapped around the axle of this world? Church, God has more for you than just coming to church and sitting in a pew. He has more for you than just battling over whether you should tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I wish God would just show me His will. It is His will, I guarantee you, that you share what He's done in your life. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You don't even have to pray about it. It is written. It is a command. Preacher, I don't like that. Yeah, the flesh won't. Flesh is going to fight you. Well, if I look from the outside in, I'm afraid. The Bible says our spirit is not a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Why are you afraid? Well, why do you continue to make excuses? Well, I've experienced this. Listen, your experiences and that will buy. Listen, in a quarter will buy you a piece of gum. That's nothing. You need to go with what God can do. Can God fail? God, listen, is God at work? Does God see the wickedness of this nation? Listen, when Esther was there, if you and I looked at it logically, we'd think, boy, hey, Mordecai, come on now. Hey, preacher, come on. Don't you want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It did not make sense from the outside in, but from the inside out, what God could do. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God? I'm just saying the reality of it is, I know who's in the White House. I know what's happening in America. I see the wickedness. I see the input. But I know this. I know God put us here for such a time as this. And the church, instead of becoming so focused on the world, we need to be focused on Jesus Christ and His love and His... We may be the last group of people to have the gospel to give. We're one generation away from a godless nation. And if your grandkids get the gospel that you have to share, that you live, is it enough? Is it enough this morning that if your children began to walk with Jesus the way that you walk with Jesus, do you think how far, preacher, don't you understand? We live in a real world. We're real human beings. No, God made you a new creature, and you'll never find true happiness, the abundant life, without putting Him, making that choice. My life, Lord, is yours to control. God, here it is. Ain't much. Well, it's just 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? God, it's just a little staff. What do you got in your hand, Moses? Oh, a rod. Well, cast it down. I can use it. Hey, what is that you got there, lady? What is it? Oh, save a pot of oil. It's not much. So my children are going to be sold to the bondmen. What am I going to do? And remember old Elisha said, what do you got in your house? God's not interested in what you're going to get. He said, what you got? He gave you this life. He put you in this city. He put you in this town. He has a purpose for you. Yep. Remember what happened? She began to pour the oil. And boy, it was amazing as the miracle began to happen. I can't wait to get to heaven and check out the video and see what those boys did with their life. But as they saw the belief and the faith of that mother, I'm asking you this morning, are you living from the outside in or from the inside out? We're 1 of 3 people. We are living in the area of compromise. You're a child of God and you're a compromising Christian. You're half in, half out. You're hokey pokey. You serve God on Sunday morning, but Sunday night, He isn't important enough. Wednesday night, well, I just can't fit Him in my time schedule. I'm just saying the reality is our world needs to see that Jesus is important to us. We're not a compromiser. I can live and do because, preacher, no, I want you to understand you're either a compromiser or you are somebody that's in conflict today and you're sitting here and you say, Brother Kelly, I don't know that I'm saved. I want you to know that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loves you. You are important. Going to heaven isn't a hard thing. You don't have to work to get there. Listen, the reality, Jesus does all the work. He's already done it. You just have to believe and receive. You're sitting here today and you're a compromiser. Or you're sitting here and you're somebody who's in conflict. Or you're sitting over here and you're somebody who is serving with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and you're all in. I mean, your mind is stayed on Him. Your work is stayed on Him. Your life is in His hands. You are giving everything you have to Him. I thought I only had to give Him 10% of my life. How many figured out a long time ago that's not the way it works? He gave it all. And He asked us to be like Him. You say, Brother Kelly, but then I won't have any fun. You've missed it. I've had a whole lot more fun serving God. I'm just telling you. I've been places that my friend, I was on a thing with my friends the other day from high school. Some of them have never even left town. I live in Alaska. I've been on cruise ships. I've been in foreign countries. I've seen God do. I've seen, what God has allowed us to do. Boring life, Christian life, devil's lying to you. He's alienating you, robbing you of the life of God. Oh, Elijah, hey, you're going to go sit by. What? God asked you to do some crazy things? Jeremiah, put on a girdle. Come on, have you ever looked at all the crazy things that God asked His people to do? You say, well, why? Because God was just seeing their submissive, surrendered will. God's looking for some people today. He said, I'm tired of looking at everything from the outside in. And Spirit of the living God, will You search me? Search my heart today. Is there any wicked way in me? Is there something in my life that isn't so wholeheartedly given to You? And let God do what only God could do. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. You may be sitting here and you say, Preacher, I've lived my life from the outside in. My past, my present, what I see now has robbed me, alienated me. As you talked in Ephesians this morning, it's alienated me from the life of God. Preacher, I feel today that I've been ripped off somewhat. As I've looked at it, I see that I know God has more for me than this old Gentile life. Would you slip up your hand? That's me.